Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Everyone, this is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer, and we are back at you with double coverage, all things MSU and Ole Miss, with the start of football season now upon us. Logan, how are you, man?
Hey, doing good. Trying to get back adjusted in the game week. And I know it's kind of an unusual game week for you, you know, with Ole Miss playing on the holiday on Monday, but it's normal game week routine over here in Starkville, and I'm just trying to get adjusted back into things. I really haven't had a game week since the Super Regional, you know, back in June. So just trying to fall back into that routine. And once you get into that routine, Parrish, I mean, it's kind of easy to follow from here till basically Thanksgiving.
And I like the routine, Logan. You know that about me. You know, I like structure. I like routine. And while football season is busy and it's a lot of work every week, you know, it's stuff you can get done and you can mark it off and you know what the week's going to be like. It's a little less like that in basketball season. But, you know, with the football season here and the routine here and the excitement that all that brings, I know you celebrated earlier today, Logan, by going to get a haircut. So you're cleaned up and ready to go for the season, right?
Exactly. It's probably the last haircut I get for football season. Just trying to take care of some last minute things. And I'm like you, I do like the structure of the season. You fall into that routine. Now my routine's a lot different than yours. You're more the early riser, and I'm kind of the night owl, but we somehow managed to each get it done.
We do. And folks, before we get into the program, I want to remind you about some other podcasts to look for wherever you go to search for your podcast. Check out The Memo, our Daily Journal news podcast, all things Northeast Mississippi with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, coming to you three times a week on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. That's The Memo. Look for Prep Rally, also all things high school sports in Northeast Mississippi with Brad Locke, Gene Phelps, and Blake Morgan. That comes to you every Wednesday. We're going to be here with you on Thursdays during football season, Logan and I, with double coverage, all things Mississippi State and Ole Miss. And let's just jump right into it, Logan. Let's start with the Bulldogs first, because they play first. Every time I hear about South Alabama, I keep going back to that old, was it Jim Croce? Was that his name? Out of South Alabama came a country boy. You know, and the gist of the story there in the song was Willie McCoy went up to Chicago and got hustled, and then he went back to that bar and just kind of messed it all up and got his money back, man. So do you think South Alabama's going to be that rough when they come up to Starkville?
Well, I'm unfamiliar with that song, Parrish. You may have dated me there.
I dated one of us, didn't I?
South Alabama, this is the third time, you know, they've played in this series, and they've all came under Dan Mullen twice. So I've been there and covered, you know, the two previous games. They played once in Starkville, and they played, they played in Starkville in 2012, and then they played again in Mobile in 2014. So it's kind of every other year they're kind of meeting in this series. I think this is the last game of this three-game series that was signed. And Mississippi State's won the two previous games pretty handedly. No reason to think that's not going to happen again this weekend. But it's a great opportunity for Mississippi State, who's got a lot of young players that they really would like to get some game experience. Some first-year starters and some guys that are a lot of redshirt freshmen that they're really high on. They're really going to try to get them playing a lot of reps. And then, of course, the quarterback situation, too. You know, Mississippi State still hasn't named a starter. We thought that might happen this past week on Monday. And, Dan Mullen just kind of said Nick Williams is going to be the quarterback, kind of joking around, having a little fun with us in the media. Of course, that's the combination of Nick Tiano, Nick Fitzgerald, and Damien Williams. He just kind of combined them all together there. And he did say that, though, he expected the upperclassmen, Nick Fitzgerald and Damien Williams, to receive the majority of the reps this week in practice. And I think we'll see those two out there first. Still don't know exactly who's going to take that first snap, but he did say that he expected to play more than one quarterback in the first quarter if things play out the way that he hoped to on Saturday. So I expect to see all three quarterbacks playing in that ball game. It's probably not going to be the blowout that it could be just because they're going to play so many young players. They want to try to get as many guys some experience here in week one as they can just in case they need them later on down the line. You know, the schedule kind of only gets harder from here, so they want to try to get as many guys in this game as possible. And we got that nice 11 a.m. kick. And back before I started working for the Daily Journal, I ran a website. And, you know, like I said earlier, I'm a night owl. So I don't necessarily like early morning kickoffs, but now that I'm having to write on deadline over the last 4 years, I've kind of appreciated that early morning kickoff where I can actually take my time and write a halfway decent story for you folks to read. So it's not just kind of cramming it all in right before deadline.
And then when you get finished with that story, Logan, there's a piece of Saturday left, man. You can go out and have dinner. You can do things with your family. There are just some options there with the 11 a.m. kick. Man, I'm all about some sunrise football. I'm waiting for the 6 a.m. kick, man. I'll get up and do that. I'll go to that game. I'll cover that game.
But if it's a 6 a.m. kick, I'm probably just going to pull all night or just stay up the whole night because there's no way I would be able to make it up that early.
Well, you know what? That's one of the few time slots that that ESPN hasn't cashed in on yet. So maybe they will. Maybe they'll go the other way with us. Hey, let's talk Ole Miss and Florida State a little bit. Really an unusual game week for me right now, Logan. While it technically, we've called it game week and we've been in that structure and in that routine, but the Rebels and Seminoles don't kick off until 7 o'clock Monday night. And it's been kind of different, just trying to stockpile interviews and have storylines and things to write every day to keep up with these teams as the game approaches. One interesting matchup in this game, you know, while State has a quarterback competition going on and a little bit of the famous Dan Mullen secrecy around that sort of thing, Ole Miss returns the best quarterback in the SEC. I mean, you could have made a case, you could have made an argument for Chad Kelly that he was the best quarterback in the SEC last year, but certainly quarterback play overall in the conference was stronger and more experienced in 2015. You know, to call Chad Kelly the best quarterback in the league right now, it's not even close. And I heard the guys on WWL out of New Orleans discussing this earlier in the week, and you know, and they referenced the coaches all SEC team, the coaches preseason team that came out just a week or so ago, not long ago. You know, the media team came out in July when we were at media days there in Hoover, but the coaches picked three teams. Okay, they had Chad Kelly as the first team quarterback. Josh Dobbs of Tennessee is a second team, and those are easy choices. Both those guys had good years last year, and you know, and they are returning starters, and there are so few of those in the league. But the third team preseason All-SEC quarterback, according to the coaches, was Brandon Harris of LSU. So chew on that for a little bit. Remember the kind of year that Harris had last year. That just kind of tells you about the depth and talent and inexperience among quarterbacks in the SEC right now, that Brandon Harris would be on somebody's preseason All-SEC team. Chad Kelly is a reason that Ole Miss has a chance to go into Orlando and win against Florida State. But when I look at this matchup, Logan, it's it's kind of interesting between the quarterbacks and the secondary. Both ways. You look at Ole Miss when Ole Miss has the ball, and they've got Kelly, a very experienced player, going up against a very experienced Florida State secondary. In fact, in some of these websites and media outlets that rank position groups, that Florida State secondary is ranked number one in the country. So a lot of experience there, a lot of attention on Derwin James, a safety, a junior, who last year had 91 tackles, 9.5 for loss, and 4.5 sacks. So a guy who really makes plays for Florida State there in the secondary, and some good cover corners as well. So when Ole Miss has the ball, it's a matchup of strength against strength. when Florida State has the ball, it's really a matchup of unknowns. Florida State's going to have a redshirt freshman making the start at quarterback, so DeAndre Francois will be seeing his first college action. He'll be the starting quarterback because of an injury to a more experienced player. But you'll have Francois making his first start against an Ole Miss secondary that last year intercepted a lot of passes but gave up a lot of yards and really was just kind of average in pass coverage with the cornerbacks. Add to that the fact that the Rebels have two new starting safeties. One of them, free safety Cedric Woods, played a little bit last year, gained some experience as a freshman, but he's a sophomore, and he'll be a starter for the first time. And then over at the strong safety position that Ole Miss calls the Rover in its 4-2-5 scheme, you've got two true freshmen in the first two spots on the depth chart. Miles Hartsfield, who is 2 years removed from high school because he spent a year at prep school. He'll start at Rover, and behind him is Deontay Anderson out of Texas, who was rated the number 53 overall player by 247 Sports in the 2016 class. So, you know, some high expectations and some ability there, but a lot of youth in that secondary, a lot of unknowns, and really, you couldn't have two different sort of matchups there between the quarterbacks and the secondaries there in this game. So that'll be something certainly to keep an eye on when the Rebels and Seminoles get started Monday night.
Yeah, you know, some of the things I'm looking for in this Mississippi State game, it's a lot of the new stuff that I kind of want to see. I talked about, you know, some of those redshirt freshmen that need to get out there on the field. You know, one of the guys that I'm looking forward to seeing is Leo Lewis. You know, obviously one of the top players in the state 2 years ago, redshirted his first year at Mississippi State. He's going to get a chance to start at middle linebacker right next to Richie Brown. Mississippi State switching to that new 3-4 look this year, and that's something else that I'm interested to see is just how that's going to work. They keep saying they're going to be multiple on defense, and I have no doubt that they will. But I do think that they're going to show that 3-4 look a lot more than they're showing the 4-3 look that they did a year ago and in years past. I think that those are kind of going to be flip-flop. Mississippi State played a 3-4 look sometimes last year, but that was very sporadic and very sparingly. And, you know, I think they're going to be, you know, based out of that look this year. I'm also wanting to see how those cornerbacks are going to do. Obviously, we talked last week about the senior cornerbacks, Talando Cleveland and Cedric Giles, both having significant injuries. Cedric Giles has a broken arm. He's going to be out till midseason. Talando Cleveland's going to miss the entire year with a torn ACL. So it's going to be some young cornerbacks out there. Jamoral Graham, who's a junior, who has only played cornerback for 1 year. He came in as a wide receiver. So he's going to be tested. And then they've got a junior college transfer, LaShard Durr, that actually signed with Mississippi State out of high school, had to spend 2 years at Colin before he made it to Starkville back in January. He's going to get the start at the other cornerback spot. And just going to have to see how those guys do and how that defense fares. Going to be up in the air with nose guard right now. Obviously, they had kind of slated Nick James to start at that position. Nick James goes out and gets arrested for public intoxication Sunday, I guess, celebrating their last off weekend the right way, I guess, and gets arrested. So you never want to see that kind of stuff happening. And, you know, we asked Dan Mullen about that on Monday, what his status would be. And, you know, it's kind of been standard. We find out about suspensions for that first game right before kickoff. And, you know, the suspension could be something from, something like arrest in Nick James's case, or missing class, or being late for workouts, you know, all those team rules that we hear about, Parrish.
Need a list of those team rules.
Yeah, can't find those for some reason. We did find out on the teleconference on Wednesday that there is a team rule that, you know, no handguns on campus. There are no weapons whatsoever on campus. That's a university rule. But Dan Mullen also said, you know, no handguns at all. You know, he realizes there's some hunters on the team. You know, he lets those guys hunt, but keep your rifles with your hunting supplies. Don't bring them to class with you, or don't bring them on campus at all. So kind of keep that hunting stuff to yourself. But
Well, a lot of people keep hunting supplies in the back of the truck, Logan, and they have a gun rack. Is that acceptable? I heard that question making the rounds on the teleconference. It was unique.
It was. I'm not really sure what stirred that question up. But anyway, I'm looking forward to the quarterback situation, just how they rotate those guys through, and also the running backs. They've got 6 scholarship running backs this year. They rotated 4 through last year. They've got 2 more to add to the mix. Both of those guys are redshirt freshmen. So six scholarship running backs they got to try to feed the ball to this year. And it's going to be interesting to see how they play that out. 3 quarterbacks, 6 running backs, and a whole host of wide receivers. It's going to be a lot of interchange on that offense. And then at tight end, Mississippi State, Justin Johnson is Mississippi State's veteran tight end as a true sophomore. A lot of inexperience at that tight end position this year. And really got to see how they switch those guys out. I want to get a good first look at Jordan Thomas, the junior college tight end that came in over the summer. 6'5", 295 pounds. And the coaches rave about his athletic ability. Scott Salix, the tight end coach at Mississippi State, talked about an 80-yard touchdown that Jordan Thomas had in practice where he was running away from the defense. And can you imagine a guy at that size leaving the defensive backs in the dust? I really want to kind of see that at some point. Yeah, I just think that'd be amazing to see.
That's the other thing, Logan, and we've talked many times about the inability to view much of camp and how closed August practices have become. I take something like that with a grain of salt. If I see a guy that size running away from the secondary, from the defense, I'll be very impressed. But, I hear a coach say that right now, and I'm just raising my eyebrows at that. But I certainly would want to see that myself. But that brings me to this, understanding that very little practice, almost zero, was open for viewing. Did you get a sense, did anybody at that running back position with all those guys, was there any separation by anybody? Anybody stand out?
Well, Dan Mullison Monday the two seniors, Brandon Holloway and Ashton Shumpert, are going to be the two main guys this year, and that was the case last year. Obviously, Ashton Shumpert got the first crack at the starting job, lost that by week 5, just really didn't have the type of production and just wasn't consistent back there that they needed. And then they got Brandon Holloway involved in the last 8 games of the season. He got back there and started and had some success, mostly out of the backfield catching the football. I mean, he didn't have any rushing touchdowns a year ago, but added a lot in the passing game. And just kind of that changeup back. I mean, he's only about 5'8", maybe a 160 if he's lucky. But he's light and fast. And, a guy that size is not going to be able to handle just a huge workload back there. But he actually took a better – licking than I thought he could back there. I mean, he got popped several times and just bounced right back up. But I guess that's the good thing. When you have so many running backs, you're not going to be asking a guy of Brandon Holloway's stature to carry the ball 30 times a game. I mean, he's going to probably get 10, 12 carries. You're going to use him a lot, lining him up in the slot, catching some passes out of the backfield. And then most of the other backs are big power back kind of guys that can kind of carry that load. And I'm really looking to see if Ashton Shumpert can have a bounce back year. I mean, he's a local player, Forest Parish, up there from Fulton. Played some time at both Itawamba AHS and Tupelo during his high school career. Really high expectations for him coming into Mississippi State. Really hasn't lived up to those. And I want to see if he can have that bounce back year this year that many people thought that he could, as a 4-star recruit and one of the top players in the state of Mississippi coming out of high school. Can he have that type of production at Mississippi State? He had his opportunity last year, wasn't able to do it. Can he bounce back as a senior and have the type of year that some people think he can have?
Well, you mentioned the middle linebacker position there at State and how that looks different with them running a 4-3 now. I want to see that position at Ole Miss. That was a great position of need in recruiting, and they really whiffed on that on signing day. They didn't whiff much. They got a lot of talented players to bring into the program, but they didn't find that next big thing at middle linebacker, and they were losing 2 guys there, C.J. Johnson, who had a very productive career, and Christian Russell behind him, who was fairly average in his 2 years in the program, but to avoid there at middle linebacker. And they, like I said, they really didn't help themselves on signing day. But right after signing day came word that Ole Miss would be the destination for a graduate transfer from Oregon State. And I'm going to just apologize for butchering this name right now, but it's Rommel Magueo. And when I see Rommel, Logan, I just want to call this guy the Desert Fox. You know, go back to your World War II history classes with Erwin Rommel, the German field marshal there who had so much success for the bad guys in North Africa. They called him the Desert Fox. So when you missed that class too?
I was probably in there. I just probably wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, well, Erwin Rommel is the Desert Fox, and so I see Rommel Magueo, and I keep thinking World War II. But maybe he'll play like that battle-hardened veteran this Monday against Florida State. And here's the thing here. You know, they saw this guy coming in, a graduate transfer who led Oregon State in tackles last year and had like 150 tackles or so over the last 2 years. And, you know, on paper, it looked like they really were getting what they needed and were going to fill that void at middle linebacker. And then right after that, they were able to sign Dietrich Bing Dukes. That's a hyphen there, Bing Dukes, who was a former Georgia signee, another middle linebacker coming to Ole Miss, this time from Iowa Western Community College. Well, you know, let's focus on Magueo a little bit, the more experienced of those two. Here's what I've seen, Logan, with graduate transfers, and maybe you've experienced the same thing at Mississippi State. Number one, I've seen more of them from the basketball team. Andy Kennedy has signed several the last couple of seasons, and the constant theme with these guys is even though they are coming to a new program with a degree in hand, they are graduates, they were effective, proficient players at their other stops, even though they have all this experience, it takes time. There is still a period of acclimation, and they have to get used to new surroundings. That's been the case for all these basketball guys that I've seen, and I think it's the case right now with Rommel Magueo, and it's taken him a while to get things together in camp. He hasn't just exploded onto the scene in camp. You hear these coaches talk about him a little bit, and Hugh Freeze early in the month was questioning Magueo's speed a little bit. Part of that comes from understanding the defense. When you do that, you play faster. And it sounds now like Magueo really has made strides in learning the defense, understanding where he's supposed to be. He's listed number two on the depth chart behind DeMarcus Gates. And if he can come on and really get in some quality snaps in this game, you know, that will help Dave Womack put his best defensive players on the field, because that will allow Gates to slide over and play that outside linebacker spot, and that's where he's more naturally suited. So I really want to see what Magueo brings, want to see if Dietrich Bing Dukes gets in the game, if these guys can really step up and contribute, if they can be trusted and can make big plays. Ole Miss will be stronger on defense with Gates playing that outside spot. And offensively, you know, we've talked about these wide receivers. I think there's a lot of talent there. You're going to see some freshmen play. Been a lot of talk about A.J. Brown after signing day and whatnot. He was kind of the most heralded of those freshman wide receivers. But it's D.K. Metcalf out of Oxford, you know, a similar body build of Brown in terms of being a big physical receiver. It's Metcalf who earned a spot on the depth chart, number two on the depth chart at one of the wide receiver positions. I think Brown will play as well, but I thought that was kind of interesting to see Metcalf maybe a little bit ahead this month in practice. The other guy that I think is going to have a good game, and you know, you just never know because he's a redshirt freshman, will be Eric Swinney at running back. In the 2015 signing class, Hugh Freeze raved about this guy. said he was the running back that he wanted his whole staff to commit to in the 2015 class. They went all in for Swinney. I think Rivals rated him the number 10 running back in the country coming out of Georgia. And, you know, he probably would have had a role last year, even though Ole Miss had a lot of experience at the position. But he had a stress fracture, which forced a redshirt season. So now, you know, they figured he was going to be in the rotation anyway. But you add on top of that the academic issue that the university took responsibility for. But what, regardless, it's caused Jordan Wilkins to miss this season. So you have a potential starting running back exit the picture. There's still some talent and depth at this position for Ole Miss. I think they'll be fine there. But all of a sudden, Eric Swinney's role gets a lot bigger. You know, they're going to be counting on him. And like DeAndre Francois, the Florida State quarterback, you're talking about a guy who was highly recruited, had a big offer sheet, but he's a redshirt freshman. So when the lights go on and you're playing a top 10 team on the first night of your college football career, how do you respond? It'll be I want to see what they get from Eric Swinney. Akeem Judd will be the starter there at running back. I think they're going to be pretty good. Obviously, the running game depends on who you're blocking up front. And, there'll be some question marks along the offensive line. We'll see. If they get a little bit of play there, I think they're going to be very good on offense. I like what they have at running back and receiver. And we've obviously talked about Kelly. So weapons on offense for Ole Miss. So this might be a team that has to outscore opponents to win a lot of games in 2016. We'll see. Got to get some play from that offensive line. Folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage with Logan Lowry and Parrish Alford, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Be sure to check out The Memo, our news podcast that's coming to you three times a week with Brad Locke and Derek Russell. All things Northeast Mississippi. And for all your high school sports needs, check out the Prep Rally every Wednesday with Brad Locke, Gene Phelps, and Blake Morgan. And Logan and I will be back here with you every Thursday for Double Coverage. Come back and join us next week.